Blog Talk Radio. I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
From one thing to another, so it's very hard, but everything is about straighten up the mystery of the Bible. And they said, Phil, you pronouncing the name wrong, and you gave me 7-8 times to pronounce the word Garfu, 7-8 times. I heard it mentioned, but I'm still going to mess up on the name, because one thing about it, we'll mess up on the name, because one thing about it, that name, it's a good name, but that name don't have no father behind it. That's why a lot of times I'm going to mess up on the name, because I don't care how far your name go back. According to the Bible, if we said we're going to do Bible, then whatever name that you proudly call yourself, it must trace back to the biblical name of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I mean, it's simple as that. So now we understand about the name, G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A, Garfune. I heard, I mean, I practice with you. I'm saying that ain't right. But I'm still going to get it wrong. You know why? Because like I said again, the key to it is whatever that name come from, do it trace back to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what I want to know. Damn, who the father of this name? Who the father in the name you call yourself? Who is the father to that name? Okay, good. 195 International Country, 166-397 Flash, 166 on the international side, 397. We'll bring our elder in, but like I can say again, we're going to work with you. Because one thing we do know, it's going to happen. And we're going to activate all of it, the six anointed camps, the voices of the true Israelite. Because what we're going to do, we're just going to bring what the book's saying. We're going to put it right before you. And see if you're going to apply to the Bible. That's it. So when you meet your brother, in this case, we're looking for the elder, Mr. Tills. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tills, Yahweh beat you there, see you right.
And Yahweh bless you, see you as well, see you grow. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Father, Elder, Mr. Tibb. Well, got a lot of memos on the table, so you take your time on your end. I will take a look at a couple of them while I'm looking at, while I'm trying to read it alone. 195 International Countries, 166-397 is flashing on the international side. 166-397 is flashing. So you take your time and you get to working with that. And we'll look over a couple of these memos. We'll see which way we'll go on part number 38. Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, part number 38, the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelites. You're on the clock, Mr. Tibbs. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, sir, as well. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And it looks like we have another big jump. And a number of members that came to hear the words of Yahweh. 166,397 listeners came to hear this word. Well, that tells me one thing, that somebody wanted to hear some Yahweh. Because we have too many people now that just want to read certain verses in the Bible. I mentioned this last week. They got their favorite verse. You got the whole Bible, the book of Yahweh. I want to read my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and still I feel uneasy, and I can't think of nothing I want to say. Well, I mentioned looking 1 Maccabees chapter 12, verse 9. See what it says. Therefore, we also about, we need none of these things that we have the righteous books of scripture in our hand to comfort us. You see that? The righteous scriptures of the book is what comforts us. Comfort us, not your favorite verses in the Bible. It's the book of Yahweh that he gave us. And everything in there has a righteous place. You have some people, like I said before, each and every broadcast, they come to hear things that most of us can hear. And some listening, they never understand. And there's a reason for that. That's because they've been endowed with too much bad teaching. Because we have to beware, you know, by knowing the scriptures, we're given the Bible precepts. We do them because we know that when we're given the precepts, we have knowledge to know that those people out there, they camouflage the evil, confused teaching. And also the loud, overly loud, bump the gums contest for righteous learning. Figuring that the louder they talk, the more it makes them heard to be right. Not so. You have some people that come, and I know a lot of people have seen this, come as Yahweh the Son, himself. I am he, the second coming. Oh, wow, that seems to be pretty important. Yahweh the Son has come back. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confess not that Yahweh the Son has come in the flesh is not a Yahweh. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahweh. Therefore, you heard it should come, even now already is in the world. And you can bet, because you see it many places. Evil. How can we express that any other way except that what it is? That's just like I mentioned about Doeg the Edomite, mentioned in 1 Samuel. He was an evil man. He was tempted by the king to kill the priests, and he did. He did just that. Mr. Doeg the Edomite killed 80-some priests while they were in church, in the temple. That's not a good thing. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, wrong directions to go. We're here to welcome you, to thank you for attending our live broadcast, so we can show you the correct way to go, and that's in the Word of Yahweh. Using the book that he gave us, learning how to connect the books about your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do this because this is information that you have knocked for and came to seek. And now you have to look no further because you found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally not having a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and our online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your current devices. On the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. And after you click enter, just under this big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you tenders of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. I always remind everyone to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver, and also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures and the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and also the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, we find it important to mention to check the calendar to keep yourself in tune with the feast days that come to you, your family, and friends throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after clicking it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live online broadcast. We also use two email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is Tribe. The spelling is T-R-I-B-E. YHDH at gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is YSRAEL@gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with the Aqua in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling this same number, you can order what we have called our 12 programs via the 12 tribes of Israel on DVD. That's right. You can order any particular 12 programs that we have sponsoring the 12 tribes of Israel on DVDs. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gadah. Just choose the program that you were late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, doing the normal Broad Talk broadcast, and afterwards, we are simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk. On Pal Talk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. You'll find that this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on-the-table topics we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Senior Israel, riding a shotgun. And during that time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, you'll find our teaching will conveniently continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, as I said before, keep the scriptures in mind. Don't try to win the bump the gums contest, as you see most doing when they think they're right. Why? Because you miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. You have to remember we're rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah, as it tells us in John chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the righteous spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So we can get these things down and remember what he has said to us. Keep your Bibles open. I'm going to pass our program back to our seer Israel and let the teaching begin. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hey, hallelujah, Yahuwah. Well, that's excellent again. And that's right. The one thing about it, you know, it's order. We'll try everything else but order. Once we try order, that's it. I'm telling you, Steve, right here, we clear that situation we in right now, but we got to show you the hidden hand. We got to show you exactly how they did it, when they did it, and how they did it, step by step. Now, you know, it talks about in Zechariah, only two-thirds is going to make it. You know, two-thirds is going to make it. The 9 and the 12, you know, that's going to make it. And guess what? That's the way it's going to be, see, right? See, the Bible is right. So anytime you go in the Bible, you might have the greatest explanation of anything. But you go into the Bible and see where that line up with what you're saying. Now, if that line up with what you're saying, then guess what? Then Yahuwah intervenes, because one thing he's not going to back away from is his word. And so that's the point we're trying to make right now. The word was written, whether we like it or not, or our feelings get in the way. There's certain things you just can't do according to the Bible. I don't care how itchy skin you have. You still got to make sure what you're doing, the Bible supports. If the Bible supports it, right on. If it don't support it, you got to make adjustments. All right, enough said on that. And we'll kind of show you exactly what he's saying. You know, if you don't lie with the Bible, what you're saying, regardless of how loud you make it, it still ain't going to work. So that's good enough for right now. We'll catch the bell to Ayel on the second part of his closing statement, going look with Brother Yahdai Israel. And we're going to see, can we get something going on? And I don't know. What happened to Brother Yahdai Israel? What you saying, WCC? Okay, give it another minute. Oh, okay. All right, we're going to get back to Brother Yahdai Israel in just a second. And we'll get something going on. All right, good. Okay. All right. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we do. Until Brother Yahdai's microphone is back right. Until his microphone is ready to go, let's see, can we give Mother E a chance to scramble all around it? Oh, let me look for what I got to have. Oh, let me find this. Let me find that. Let me get something going on. All right, Mother E, we're going to be working on Brother Yahdai's microphone, Mother E. So if you can kind of, you know, run around and get everything lined up like you should, we're just going to bring you in until we get the okay that Brother Yahdai's microphone is ready to go. How does that sound there, Mother E? So let's see if we can bring you in for a minute. Until we clear that Brother Yahdai's microphone. I tell you what, let me just talk for a minute, because I need to bring out something. I need to bring out something anyway. That give me a chance to do a little talking for a minute. Oh, let's see. Let me see what this memo is saying right here. I need to talk about this memo right here. It talks about this memo. Very important. It talks about the two populations that's already in the British and French archives. That means historical records. It's already in historical records exactly how that a French writer in 1625. This is in the British records archives, and this is in the French archives. That means historical records. It talks about when they encountered the peoples that was over there in St. Vincent. These names is, you know, it's up for all these names. None of these names really exist at the time. But we just throw St. Vincent out there because this is where the guard. But I ain't gonna be talking. I'm just spelling his name out. Garifuna. This is where they trace their history back to right here. And this French writer got in the British Museum. It's in the French Museum. In 1625, they approach the peoples that's over there in St. Vincent. And you see those two peoples over there. It was the Arawak Indians, and it was the Garifuna. And they was getting along. So they immediately divided them with their records. They said the Arawak was yellow and red Caribs, Caribs. And the Garifuna was the black Caribs. But in other records, they divided the peoples. No, they wasn't. They looked the same. Both of the people looked like the same people. But they divided the peoples in the records, and you can go into the British and French archives You go to your computer whiz, you can find this information out. And they asked him a question. The question they asked the Ararats, we're going to find out they're not Ararats. How did you get to this island? And they traced their history all the way back was coming over here on ships and boats a long, long time ago. They traced their history back coming on ships and boats. They didn't come over on slavery, neither, because they was one of the members of the 10 tribes of Israel, which you call Ararats. And they asked the Garifuna, how did you get here? And they said they traced their history back from the 13th century to the 16th century. They got here between the 13th century and the 16th century. They were back and forth coming over here by Musa. They said, a lot of ships came to St. Vincent, but we can trace our history back to the 1600s. We came here, and we was called Ethiopians because at that time, the whole continent was called Ethiopia at the time. So all the African peoples, everybody was called by one name. That's what they had in their records. And we was not enslaved. We came over here. We floated on down to St. Vincent. So they floated down to St. Vincent. And that's a good thing. They floated down to St. Vincent. And they records in the British Museum archives and in the French, they got the records showing you this is where you go if you want to know the truth about you. About they got two sets of records, the one that gives you in public school system and the one in the archives. And we find out that Garifuna, they are a black-skinned peoples, along with the Ararats, which were the 10 Northern tribes. They also is a black-skinned people. What they was characterized as yellow and red Caribs and black Caribs. They divide them in their records, but they said not so. He said, I couldn't tell the difference between now and one of them until they told me who they were. That's probably making it seem right. So now, imagine once you start telling your offsprings the truth of the matter. Your records, they got the Garifuna, you got them coming over as being shipwrecked. Shipwrecked, see, right? See, they got their history that is taught as being the peoples of shipwreck. Although it was a shipwreck. But you can't classify all the peoples and just bung them up. Just like the same thing you do with the 1619. You classify all the peoples of African, political ham descent or whatever came out of the 1619 on the West Coast. You can't classify all of them like that. See, that's what you do wrong with it. So we're going to take our time and break this stuff down and show a step-by-step how you got here, how you got there. We taught on this a little bit about a couple of years ago, but it's on the table now to let you know any name that you got. If you call yourself from Honduria, which is what even didn't exist, El Salvador didn't even exist, Nicaragua didn't even exist, all these was colonies of the Spanish, French, the Great Britain. These was the ones colonized it, and they got to fighting among themselves. And then, for your rights. That's enough said on that. So we'll bring Brother Yahweh Israel. We're just gonna take our time and for the next take about 2 weeks, and we'll get all in. We got a long time for the next speech coming up. So So we'll need about 2 weeks to get everybody sorted out to let you know from the coast that you on, that you on right now, and the and what you're going through as a people is it's gonna always look good. But until we apply ourselves to the Bible, we all gonna come up short. So we're gonna talk about all that, and we're gonna bring. So your history ain't about. So now when you talk to, I mean, I've seen a lot of restaurants about this. I remember a whole lot of G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. But it's just, remember one thing. The L-Rex, the G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A, keep one thing in mind. Your names must line up with a biblical name according to the Bible. Because you told it, it's in the British archives, it's in the French archives. He wrote that you said you was the chosen ones. And they wrote down the chosen ones. Now, but the chosen one got a name on in the Bible. We're going to bring all that out. Enough said on that. Now we're going to find Brother Yahya Israel. Big Station said we got his microphone ready to go. He ready to come on in. So that, you know, we own the scene, and the big dignitaries that's in the room. If we get opportunity, we're gonna bring you out to, you know, the specialist on the New Testament. We're gonna bring you out a little bit later too. So we understand that you on the network, and we'll bring you out a little bit later. But we're gonna lay a little foundation first. See, once we get everything cleaned out real good, then we'll be able to soundly put things in order, because it tells you in Zechariah 13 verse 8, it's not the two-thirds going to make it. That means 3 and 6 is not going to make it. Only thing going to make it is 9 and 12. And the two-thirds we mean by breaking children of Israel in third part, 3, 6, 9, 12. 12 tribes, everyone got a third. 1 and 2 of the thirds is not going to make it. 3, 6, 9, it's going to be teachers of that third going to wake up, and they can't go back and get the 3 and the 6. They got to go get the 12. That third. That's what he's talking about, see, right? So his brother holler about some 66%. No, this is not. 3, 6, 9, 12. You know you got a path. You cut the pie straight down the middle and cut them to that and cut them across. That's what you're talking about. Straight down, boom. 3, 6, 9, 12. Number 9 going to be the teachers. The 9 can't go back and get the 3 and the 6, or 3 and 6 ain't going to make it. They dated. Number 12 is open, but number 9 got to get number 9 right. All the ones in 9. But guess what? It might be millions of 9, and it's millions of 12 still out there want to be helped. So we got a big job ahead of us. Got it? Good. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahya Israel, Yahweh beat you there, see you right.
Well, bless you, see Israel. I see you right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sound like you got a piece of eight working with you there, Brother Yahya. Yes, I can tell when you got a little shot of eight going for you. Must have had a little rest there, huh? I'm Brother Yahya Israel.
No rest.
No rest for the weary?
No rest.
No rest for the weary.
Hallelujah.
All right, there, Brother Yahya, sound good to me. How to get this lesson? Well, the only thing I know I get this lesson by going to Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's go ahead that way, Brother Yahya Israel. Come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. And at very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. The righteous spirit will teach you that, Brother Yagdai. Yes, sir, I believe that. So, we can't never ignore. See, we so close, but we still that far. The order got to be put on the table. Let me show you something, Brother Yagdai, Israel. Not yet. Let me show you something. You taught the national audience. In the book of Numbers there, Brother Yagdai, Israel, we have to never forget this. This is written. This is written. And scripture cannot be broken. In the book of Numbers there, Brother Yagdai, Israel, you know, I don't care how I feel it is, this right here is going to stand. I was telling the brother out there with his big group out there in Belize. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Do you know that certain things going to stand, and all the way we can be assist you that we have to see the 30th chapter applied? Yeah, we can help. But the 30th chapter, we got to see it applied. What it says in the 30th chapter there that we can read, let's look at verse 1. And we'll skip down to verse number 6. And we'll take a look at some. Let's look at verse 1. 30, verse 1, and skip down to verse 6. Let's read a little bit and see what it says. See, we can say whatever we want to say, but we clear that in the 10th chapter of Daniel was written, it's going to stand. 30 verse 1, skip down to verse 6, and let's read a little bit until we get our point. Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse number 1. Verse number 6 reads, book of Numbers 30, verse number 1. Moses spake unto the heads of the tribe concerning the family of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yaakov had commanded. Verse number 6. If she
hold
had
that
out.
Hold that point. Hold that point there, Brother Yagdai Israel. Now, Brother Yagdai Israel. Now, what did you just say? This is the what, the who, do what? This is the what. Who is involved with this? This is who's saying and what? Can you emphasize and break down that 30 verse 1? You know, I got this. You know, beliefs is in the room real good. And like I told the brother, I'm going to tell y'all something. The Bible going to tell it, and what you have ear to hear. Would you break down that for this mass notice? What is verse 1 saying that, Brother Yagdai Israel, 30 verse 1? Can you break it down what that verse saying?
Book of Numbers 30, verse number 1 reads, Moses spake unto the head of the tribe concerning the family of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded.
Mm-hmm. Break that down, Brother Yagdai Israel.
So it's from the mouth of Yahweh.
This is from the mouth of Yahweh. And what it says in Titus 1, verse 2. Let's preach up there in Titus 1, verse 2. This is from the mouth of Yahweh. What it says in Titus 1, verse 2.
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 2 reads, Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which acquired that cannot lie promise before the world began.
He said, your internal life is online. Because what he's saying, he's not lying. I don't care if you can find your $10. You got your picket fence wherever you got it at. And hope for eternal life, Yahweh is not lying. Okay? I mean, eternal life is on the table. What it is, what it is. Now, come on back with that understanding. We're picking up verse 6. And let's see what it says in verse 6.
Book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse number 6 reads, if she had all her husband, when she vowed, heard it out of her lips, Well, if she bind herself. Verse 7. Now her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it. Then her vow shall stand, and her bond wherewith she bond herself shall stand. Verse number 8. But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her a vow which she vowed, that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound herself of non-effect, and Yahweh shall forgive her. Verse number 9. They revile a widow, and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound themselves, shall stand against them. Verse 10. If she vowed in her husband's house, or bound herself by a bond with a note. Verse 11. And her husband heard it, and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound herself. Verse number 12. And if her husband have utterly made them void on the day he heard them, and whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows, concerning the bond of herself, shall not stand. Her husband have made them void. Yahweh shall forgive her. Verse 13. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void.
Wait a minute. 14. Wait a minute, brother Yahweh Israel. Now you tell me it's an order about that. You mean, what you telling me that regardless of what a circumstance is, they can't put that the better half or whoever that's with you, they can't put on their own case. Is you telling me that they can't put their own case on, you know, well, I'm going to take it, I'm going to take what's on my mind to the mighty one. You telling me, according to what I'm reading, verse 12 and 13, it's still an order about things got to be done. What is there again, the order in 12 and 13? Suppose you, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till the mighty one tell me something. Okay, he's telling you something. He's telling you in Titus 1, verse 2, I ain't lying. In hope and turn of life, you have to be in order. Now what is the order again, according to 12 and 13, that we can read? What's the order? 12 and 13.
The book of Numbers 30, verse 12. If her husband have utterly made them void on the day that he heard them, and whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows, concerning the bond of herself, shall not stand. Her husband had made them void, and Yahweh shall forgive her. Verse 13. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void.
So you telling me, that's why we tell you, very careful. Make sure you're clear, you know who you're with. Because the power of the man has the authority to check you, and you're supposed to heal to be in check. Because that authority, Yahweh has given to this man. See, and he's saying, hope eternal life. So you got to, that's why we got to really be in position to really help the youngest that are coming up to understand you got to be very careful before you get off into a relationship, because here's the point. The power, according to the power of Yahweh, he is not lying. He's saying that man has the power to tell you to hush up or continue talking. And if anything you say is going to be forgiven, you got to go to that man and say, look here, what you, had Almighty One to forgive me for what I did. So you got to really, like I said, you got to suck it up. Now, I'm telling you where it is. According to what we read in verse 3 and 13, I want to read one more time. So this is the part we got. So when I'm talking to the brother, I said, hey, brother. I said, who's in the background making all that noise? He said, that's my better half making all that noise. I said, tell him, get a pistol coming to work with you and close the mouth a little bit. He said, hey, close your mouth a little bit. Come on with a pistol. You can't tell me. I'm not in my daddy's house no more. I'm grown. You can't tell me. how to run my mouth. See that? I said, well, I'll tell you what. We got, first of all, we got to get a lot of things on the table. Understand that according to the Bible, if we believe the Bible, yes, you can tell her, but you got to understand these rules of regulation must be understood by you that you didn't know, because you don't even know who you are. So these things must be understood first. And see, when you come out and fix a known account, we'll show you what's written first of the bond of the covenant. If you want Yahweh to intervene, you got to understand what the order is. Verse 12 and 13 again. Listen to this. One more time. 12 and 13.
For the book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 12, verse number 13 reads. Numbers 30, verse 12. But if her husband have utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows, concerning the burden of herself, shall not stand. Her husband have made them void.
Hold that point. Hold that point. So if you decide to perceive something is not right, just after back was not, but you tell your better half. I think that telephone call that you started getting by this certain outsider, I want to stop. I mean, I don't want you to communicate back and forth with this person anymore. You're going to get no bad mouth behind. You're going to say, okay, hallelujah, what? Now, when you understand that because he's in position to get it quicker to Yahweh than you can, and if he tell you something he don't like, you're supposed to make a adjustment to it then and there, according to what we read in verse 12 and 13. And see, that's the part, and it's so much we got to show on the table to get what we got to get to. So when you say to your better half, that's enough, close your mouth. That's going to be the end of it. How we know that? Read verse 13. Let's see, 13 and 16. You're looking on down the road, 13 and 16. This is the heavenly chambers. 13 down to verse 16 says what?
Numbers 30, verse 13. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish, or her husband may make it void. Verse 14. But if her husband altogether hold his peace and her from day to day, and he establish all her vows, all her bonds, which are upon her, he confirmeth them, because he held his peace and her in the day that he heard them. Verse 15. But if he shall anyways make them void after they have heard them, then he shall bear her sin. Verse 16, these are the statutes which Yahweh commanded Moses, between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house.
Mm-hmm. Now read verse 1 and 16 one more time. 1 and 16. Let's see exactly who saying what to pay attention. 30 verse 1 and 16.
Book of Numbers 30. Verse 1, verse 16 reads, Numbers 30, verse 1. Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the family of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh have commanded. Verse 16, these are the statutes which Yahweh commanded Moses, between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth, in her father's house.
Now read verse 15.
Verse 15, but if he shall in any way make them void after that he have heard them, he shall bear her sin.
That's the power that the Almighty told Moses to pass on. So that's why you got to be very careful. Don't overlook nothing, because whatever jump on the table, that's why you got to be clear what you're working with, because you is your option. To say, hey, hold your mouth. And like I'm telling you, the big camp out there, and listen, you got the option according to the Bible to tell your better half, hold your mouth. And come over with a pen and take a few notes. Can't both give you no talk back. Because that's not Bible. If you don't want Yahweh in, see, Yahweh ain't coming in unless the order things. See, that's the point we're trying to say. Now let's go back and see something. Back into the book again. We ain't going to read all, but you're going to read your point. And the lost tribes of the promised land there by Ronald Sanders, Bob Yahweh Israel. I want to pick you right back up at where it says a brief conversation. A right down there, paragraph 4 or whatever, it says A on it, but it says a brief conversation. Let's see what it says on page 334, a brief conversation. We want to read about a little of this brief conversation.
Tribes of the Promised Land by Ronald Sanders. Page number 364.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me what it says. A brief conversation.
Page number 364. A brief conversation then ensued in their common ancestral forefathers' tongue, to do the word ancestral. According to Montezinas, whose fluence ended almost as perplexing to the reader of his narrative as is that of his three mysterious new companions. They told him that they were 12, that they were themselves of the tribe of Reuben, and that the tribe of Judah lived on an island nearby.
Good. They say they were from the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Joseph was nearby. And we found out in last lesson about 100 miles right across. So they went across things, they didn't go around things. We got to go through all these highways and byways. So now, for the prophet saying, see, Roy, the 12 tribes of Israel knew who they were, and all of the islands had a name that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Because in Deuteronomy there, above Yahweh Israel, yep, 12 tribes of Israel. Let's talk about a big dignitary was over there too. Moses talked about it. So Moses talked about a big dignitary in the 32nd chapter, May 34. Let's see. Moses talked about a big dignitary was over there in the 34th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Let's talk about it. A big dignitary was over there. In 34, verse 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy, Moses even talked about it.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse number 1. Verse number 2 reads, Book of Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. Moses went up from the plains of Moab into the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And Yahweh showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. Verse number 2. Now all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Yahdah Judah unto the othermost sea.
All the land of Yahdah Judah is the uttermost sea. That's called, if you look at the word Utah, got a name called Utah. Utah seed right here. All that land was Yahdah Judah's land. Judah, he sprung from Utah and went and took care of a big gather of the land. So Judah been over there for a long time too. It's just what happens. We're going to go read up, but this is why I want sitting on the camps to do their homework on. You can go on the network, and you can read the private letters King of Belgium, private letters. And you can read out some more if you want to read their private letters, what they wrote, but just by their hand. Do what they write. King of Belgium, Leopold II. Don't tell this people where they come from. The West Coast of the land here, the Congo. Don't tell them where they come from. Don't tell them that the day is from kings and not slaves. We was taught the wrong way. That's us. Tell them they from slavery, shipwreck. Now imagine you in school. Let me tell you out in Central Caribbean. And all you talk that you are from a shipwreck, which it did happen. But then all of a sudden you look at the records, and 1625 is telling you that in the British archives, that means historical records, and Great British historical records, they said they talked to the peoples, they called the chosen one. They look no different from each other. The one we call a name, we got a name called Ararat. We got the name called this name right here, G-A-R-I-F-U-E-N-A. These two names, we got them. We put in our records, but we know who you really are. We know that your record said from the Kingdom of Mali, West Africa. When you do the research on this king, before being the richest man on the west coast of Africa, named Mansa Musa, in the 1300s to the 1400s, his records of them sending in the 1300s, sending ships to his area. 200 years before Christopher Columbus named them by the name they got right now. 200 years prior to it, it's records of you, a Mali Empire coming over there, Musa. But the problem were, you was up on an Islamic. You was up on an Islamic. See, although he was from the descendants of the 12 tribes, but he still was Islamic. So his records, when you trace the history of a G-A-R-I-F-A-N-A, you can trace the thing that they do. It's from the Dogons, D-O-G-O-N ethnic group, and that's around Mali, Africa. They blends in together. So Mansa Musa, he took on Islamic on the West Coast. The people got the connection, but then you got a lot of them that came over that land at St. Vincent that was not of this. So this thing always been about what you're going to believe. And as long as you stay divided to understand that the children of Israel cannot serve Islam, Christianity, Jesus Christ, that was never given to you. It says here, you from a shipwreck and ancient slaves taken away, they believe their religion was converted to Catholicism, Christianity, Islam, and Jesus Christ. So you see, what can we do for you? If you're in Catholicism, you're in Jesus Christ, and you are don't understand that the name that you got, you first got to cut all the rituals on how you, matter of fact, give me, who coined the name G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A? Oh, Yahweh Israel. Let's see who coined that name. Let's see what that name, give me the history of that name. G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. Tell me out there, Brother Yahweh Israel. I'm going somewhere. It's going to take about 2 weeks to put up all this right here. Because, like I said, again, we know you land up in the, and my father was going to tell you about the name when you got there, the name wasn't even St. Vincent. See, everything is out of order. We can trace this back to, we're looking at Red Ed, but we ain't going to say nothing until you all here together. Let's find out the etymology of who coined the phrase name called G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. Now, it is true that you was never conquered, but it was true you've been manipulated. You still speak, or some of these people's radio still speak the same language that you can trace back to D-O-G-O-N and Molly. And all the rest of us have lost our native tongue. That's something to be proud about, but it's just a little bit more to it. You're the only people, it's a few more, but we just use that for example, that can really claim you still speak your mother tongue from Africa. Well, I am. I mean, you can say that. Yeah, we don't. We're clear about that. But Yahweh, he took it in the book, not to say, to be proud that you still can speak your tongue that devils are put together back in the day. But understand one thing, what Yahweh said in 3 verse 8. See, Yahweh said something in Zechariah 3. That's why I said the Bible got to come in. We hear you. We have messed our tongue real bad. We clear about that, but guess what? Guess what we got to? First Maccabees 12:9. But guess what we got in 12 verse 9 of Maccabees? What we got there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Book of First Maccabees, chapter 12, verse number 9 reads. Book of First Maccabees, chapter, verse number 9. Book of First Maccabees 12, verse 9. And for we also, albeit we need none of these things, for that we have the righteous books of scriptures in our hands to comfort us.
That's right. See, what we have the records to comfort us. Now, look what it says in Zechariah 3:8 down verse 10. See, we have the records to give us a pat on the back. You know, let us know there's a bright day coming. And then I'm going to tell you something, and write it down in 14 verse 9 after you read this. Then read 14 verse 9 of Numbers. Back to back, Brother Yahweh Israel. Take your time, Brother Yahweh Israel. We're just going to walk this thing down and understand one thing. We got to get some good cooking going on. We have to recognize the name, and we got to find out this name, the etymology and origin of the name. But let's look what he says about it in Zechariah 3, 8 through 10. What does he say?
The book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 reads, book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse number 8. Zechariah, chapter 3, verse number 8 reads, if I wait you upon me, saith Yahweh, to the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Verse number 9, for then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one consent. Verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplant, Even the daughters of my dispersed shall bring my offering.
He's talking about all the way over there in the Congo, all the Martha Musa was there in the 1300s. They sent about 200 ships that way. But remember, the children of Israel been coming over to St. Vincent and all the other names you got on record since 1000 B.C. So about that 2,000 years later at their feet, right? So what Martha Musa was doing, and they say on record, the ships never came back. They sent about 2,000 ships out. And 200 years before Christopher Columbus got in the area, he said Martha Musa sent 200 ships that direction on record. I'm going to tell you what's on record. And they didn't come back. Now, they weren't drowned. When they got over there, they see their brothers over there and sisters already over there, the northern kingdom over there, looking just like them, mirroring each other. They stayed. And the record says in 1625, they told them plainly, we've been coming over here since the 1300s. We've seen 1300s, but guess what? The children of Yadav Judah been coming over since 1000 B.C. Shoot. That's 2,000 years, 2,300 years, or what you think is historical. The children of Israel have been coming over there ever since 2,300 years prior to that on record. You can trace the children of Israel have been coming over to every land at about 1,000 B.C. So, let me tell you something. Let's see what he says when you get this kind of information in 12:9. What are you supposed to do that, Brother Yachdai? We'll see when you get this information. What are you supposed to do with it according to Hosea 12, verse 9 of Numbers?
The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse number 9 reads, Hosea 12, the book of Numbers 12, verse number 9. The anger of Yahweh was kindled against them. And he departed.
Mm-hmm. I need a little bit more there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Make it 14:9. I need where Brother Hosea made a profound statement. Make it 14, verse 9. He made a profound statement. And we need to read what he said. He said something in 14, verse 9. What did he say that we can read in 14, verse 9 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Numbers 14, verse number 9. Only rebel not you against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they have bred for us. Their defense is departed from them. Yahweh is with us. Fear them not.
Right. The British Parliament, pull up the British. What did they do they did in 1773, Brother Yahweh Israel? Let's see what can we read? Let me get ready to get this name, but it's just jarring on me to bring that out. What did the British Parliament do in 1773? I don't know what they did, but you can hear what the British Parliament did in 1773. What did they do? They had a four-month debate about something in 1773. Can you tell me what were they communing among themselves about doing what in 1773? What were they doing, Brother Yahdai Israel, that we can read?
Read from the article entitled The British Parliament. On April 27, 1773, the British Parliament passes the Tea Act, a bill designated to save the faltering East Indian Company from bankruptcy by greatly lowering a tea tax it paid to the British government, thus granting it a de facto monopoly on the American tea trade.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were also doing something else there, Brother Yahdai Israel, in 1773. They was also doing something else. And we'll wait till we tied all in. They were doing a whole lot of things. I'm looking at it wrong. Try again in 1795. I'm looking at two things that were they were considered something else. But I just want to be hear it read what they were doing in 1795 also. Some that they were doing, they did. They did something in 1795. But we're going to tell you about a treaty that was also signed, a treaty. It was agreement made in 1773. That's why I want to talk about. The agreement was made in 1773, and I also want to talk about what happened in 1795. So I want to give me a little shot of that, Brother Yahdai Israel, and then I can kind of, if I can give me a little shot on it, I can kind of second that if I can give me a little shot on what was going on that we can read in 1795. What did the British do in 1795? Remember the conversation about, it's about these AIRUNA and the GARIFUNA. So it's in the line of that kind of conversation there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Now pick out what we need during the clock come up.
Right from the Free Encyclopedia, Wikipedia. Sedition Meeting Act 1795. The Seditious Meeting Act 1795 was approved by the British Parliament in December 1795. It has its purpose was to restrict the size of public meetings to 50 persons. It was the second of the well-known two acts, also known as the Gagging Act or the Grenville and Pitt Bills, the other being the Treason Act 1795. It also required a magistrate license for lecturing and debating halls where admissions were charged and policies discussed.
We'll leave that where it is about. You know, I want a little bit more, if I can really, you know, turn up the screw on it a little bit there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So, remember that, now give me two names now. Give me two names. Because it's on record. Now, see, you can go on all your computer ways. You can go pull up stuff about these, the French writing, 1625, and he tell you what he seen. He wrote what he seen. He seen two groups of people look just like each other, but as the time went on, he had to change them to be, one was called yellow-red carrots, and the other one's called black carrots. They split them up as two different peoples, but it's not so when you look at the French, but now it's in French now. You got to read this in French. It's not going to be written in English. So you got to know a little bit of French or have somebody to read the hate. What, can you read French? Yeah, I can read French. What they say right here. And they're going to tell you what it's saying, that they came to this island and they seen both these group of peoples. And you couldn't tell them between now and one of them. But to always to keep the propaganda and manipulation going on, you start putting on lighter skin and darker skin, yellow and red looking, and the other one is African black, dark skinned. But they were the same people. See, that's where propaganda come in at. But guess what? In the British archives, the records still there. See, some of us got to do some kind of work on the information that's brought out when we tell you which way to go with it. Do a little research on some things, come up with some things, because the bottom line is, let me tell you something, they bred for us, but we need more participations to get into this thing. And people will then see what they got written over there on the archives in the British archives called the Stark Records concerning these two groups of peoples. They records are saying one thing, but when it's kind of in school system, it's about teaching you something totally different. They got living records telling you exactly what they really were saying, but when they write it down and give to your teachers and your principals, they teach you totally different. They got you divided up in so many different, no, you wasn't divided at all. All them islands had a name, and was written on them islands was the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And we already found out that one thing, Yahdah Judah, he was over there in Utah, spread out like a Green Bay tree. Where that history at? Why nobody talk about it? The Bible talks about it. What we're reading at, Brother Yahdah Israel, what are we looking at? Let's go run these names down. What do these names and where they come from? What does name Arif come from? And G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. And give me a, and make a note of the timeline of these names. Come on.
I'm looking at the name G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. Garifuna. Said, and it reads, first known use of Garifuna, G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A, 1901, is a mean and defined. A member of a people of African and American Indian descent, they live mainly along the Caribbean coast of the northern Central America, called also Black Caribbean. Also, the Arawakan language containing many Caribbean elements spoken by the Garifunas.
So they got their name. Now, so that name was coined for peoples called Black Caribbeans, the Caribs. And what year, again, but I want to emphasize the year again that we can read. We don't think of what we can read. What, when that name came into existence?
First
name
Garifuna,
1901. This name was not on table in 1901. What about old Ararat? What time was his name on the table? What time was his Ararat? What time his name was on the table?
1 second now.
Ararat. What time was they named? Because, see, out of this name came Taino. See, Taino came out of them, and you got love, brother love to talk about them. They are Tainos. Ararat and the Taino peoples. What about Ararat? What can we put down on the table about them?
What was that spelling again?
Ararat, A-R-A-W-A-K. Sometimes A-N, but you can stop at that K. If you want to put the A-N out, so be it.
Origin of the word Ararat.
Indian. The Ararat Indians.
It reads, where did the Ararat originate from? The Carib. And Ararat originated in the Delta forest of Venezuela, Rio Orinoco, O-R-I-N-O-C-O, and hated each other as far back as legend can tell. The Arawaks were the first to migrate up to the Lesser Antilles, those mountainous islands today known as Barbados, Dominican, Guadalupe, Martinique, St. Kitt and St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm. Give me a number like you gave me that 1900. Give me a number about this, about the who coined the term Ararat Indian. I need something to work with that, bro. I need a timeline. What you got?
I'm reading from the encyclopedia, online encyclopedia, Wikipedia, and it reads, the early Spanish explorers and administrators used the term Arawak and Caribs to distinguish the people of the Caribbean. The Carib reserved for indigenous groups that they considered hostile and Arawak for groups that they considered friendly. In 1871, ethnologist Daniel Garrison proposed calling the Caribbean, the island of Anchor.
Mm-hmm. 1871. So you can get them in around 1871. Around the late 118, that's when they wrote in their records, they gave them the Arawak Indians in the 1800s. So after that, you got the word called Taino, all that goes in together, and then the words you got. Then time progresses on. But now come back and tell me again, now if you want Yahqua to intervene, what did the eyewitness say again? Back to the collection book again. One more time. Now, what's the difference in this right here? Let's go back to the book again. The Lost Tribe of the Promised Land. Those y'all die Israel. Now, this is just a conversation. It was a freely conversation. Let's pick it up at, pick it up from the top again, where it says, waving a banner. Then we're gonna take it down to where such as a person is nearby. That's far as we want to go. Take it back to waving a banner on page 364. This is this conversation right here that we can read. What does it say?
Read from the Lost Tribe and Promised Land by Ronald Sanders, page 364, paragraph number 3, and it reads, waving a banner high in the air, the Indian guide soon was greeted by a puff of smoke far beyond the other bank of the river. In response to his signal, the two men waited. Eventually, a canoe appeared. It had three men and a woman, all of them Indians, flew the word Indians, to the place where Francisco and Montezinas were standing at the water's edge. The woman got out and spoke to Francisco in an Indian tongue that Montezinas could not understand. Although he could perceive that he was being identified in the conversation, she then turned to her male companion to explain the situation. Upon hearing her words, they rose, went over to Montezinas, and to his utter astonishment said, Shema Yashiala Adana Alahua Alahuna Adana Ahu. Hear, O Israel, Yahqua is one. They have recited the Israelite, through the word Hebrew, fundamental creed. A brief conversation then ensued in their common tongue, according to Montezinas, whose fluence in it is almost as perplexing to the reader of his narrative as is that of his three mysterious new companions. They told him that they were themselves of the tribe of Reuben, and that the tribe of Judah is on an island nearby.
Ain't that something? You know what they said? They said they told them away from you. You saw the one you called, and the enemy was calling only me a runaway slave, so you know that didn't go there. They said, we from the tribe of Reuben, and Joseph is nearby. So if Joseph is nearby, we talking about what the man you call now, Cuba, and what you call Puerto Rico is nearby. So you see the connection you had with Reuben and Joseph Nim, everybody was they knew how to and greet their brothers. But what happened? Let's go to the 28th chapter, verse 47 through 50 of Deuteronomy. Let's see what happened there, Brother Yark. Let's read verse 37, get warmed up. 28:37 verse. 28:37. Let's see what that say first in Deuteronomy 28:37.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse number 37 reads, Deuteronomy 28, verse number 37. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, for the Yahqua shall lead you. Verse number 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which Yahqua shall send against you, in hunger, and in thirst, and nakedness, and in want of all things. You shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck, until he have destroyed you. Verse 49. Yahweh shall bring nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth. As swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, who shall not regard the person of the old, but show favor to the young.
Let's go back in the book and show you what we're talking about. You say you're going to do what in 65:15 again in Isaiah? And what are you going to do in 65:15 of Isaiah? What are you going to do again?
The book of Isaiah 65, verse number 15 reads, Isaiah chapter 65, verse number 15. You shall leave your name for a curse to my children, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his servant by another name.
When they asked you who you were, and they got it on record saying you were from Achan, you were from your peoples that you was from on the other side of in the land of West Ham called Africa. You said you were from the tribe of Achan. So now look what you said. Can you always leave room for you to, or you do in the research, so the G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A is from the tribe of Achan. You knew that, but as time progresses on, you signed a treaty in 1773. And you got the French to help you because the French was tired of Spain and British jumping them. So French got with you in 1773. It's in the British Museum that you signed an agreement. And then they leave you alone. You leave them alone. You split yourself into two pieces. And the war that you had in Great Britain on one side of the island, you had them in slavery. And the ones is called now this G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A was on the other side of the island, and they was not slaves. So you was look at them across the island, see your brothers in trouble, and the brothers look over there and see that they was, if we can get across the island, we will be free. So you had a toss and turn going on. So every chance that you got to leave one island, you went to across the other island where the treaty was signed at. It was a big conversation going on with the one that owned the land, the plantation owners. They had a four-month meeting over there in the Parliament of Britain to what to do with you. Because our slave loot is leaving, and we got no choice but to go battle with them and break that treaty. And what happens here, right? The one that came across joined in with your army, and the one that left on the other side, what they do? They taken them to all other parts that they own. Nicaragua, slave one now. Then they went to England for 2 months. Then what they do now? Ship them as far as they ship to you. There's just so much history that you need to know. You got to know who you are first. And you got to know every time you sign a treaty with them, they're going to break it. And that's how you end up into other parts of Honduran, Santo Domingo, and all them other parts, because all of them was ran by Great Britain. And guess what? All that record is in the British archives right now. Exactly where they're checking you at, then you got bust up with a whole bunch of them, and now you don't know who you are now. You mirror the one they call African American Negro, but your mindset is different. So until you recognize that you are the tribe of Achan and you're not no separate group called G-A-R-O. Now, we found the record. That's not you. You are from Aikens. Now, let's go find out who Aikens is. Let's go and find out who this is, Aikens. So now you find out that you're from Aikens. The name that you up on there right now is a curse name. Now we're going in the Bible and see who's Aikens. Let's go to the 4th chapter, verse 1 of 1 Chronicles. Let's read verse 1 there, Brother Yahjai Israel. Let's find out who's Aikens. 4 verse 1, 1 Chronicles.
Book of 1 Chronicles 4, verse number 1 reads, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Kurt, and Shabal.
Right.
Verse number
and all of them still having kids. Get down to verse 32. Because one thing you that slipped out in the information, you said that the forefathers, the ancestors said one name, Aikens. The people that call themselves by this name are G-A-R-O-I-F-U-N-A are descendants of Aikens. Let's see if we find that name in verse 32.
The book of 1 Chronicles 4, verse 32. The villages were Etham, Ain, Ramon, Tokshin, Tokshin, and Ashen. Ashen. Five.
This Ain, and Aikens is one. It's basically one of the same. Ain and Ashante. Just come that right there. These two songs right here. These are the two songs from the tribe of Judah. They was the one that you get it talks about it got an Aikens. I gotta find that name, but this is the name that's supposed to that name and Ashante that came out of Ghana. It was a Ashante tribe. And they had another brother came out was Aikens. And Ain and the Aikens, all these I'm gonna find it. Aikens. Aikens written somewhere in too, but I guess I ain't gonna find it right now. But as you see it, Brother Yahdai Israel, Aikens and the Ain and the Ashante is dumb. Them is the one that came over here, but they've been coming over here ever since 1000 BC. Yahdai Judah been coming over in what's called the second part of Shem's land called America since 1000 BC. So you don't know who nobody is. You don't know who nobody. And they stayed in their tribe, but they didn't stay in their tribe. So when they came over here, they mixed together. You don't know who nobody is no more. The only way you can tell who anybody is now is from the pages of the Bible. You can tell from the pages of the Bible who everybody is. But he got to give you that spirit to understand that the writer said he couldn't tell the difference between none of them over there because all of them had they had the look of 14 verse 2 of Jeremiah. He said he couldn't tell. And this is in 1625. He said, I couldn't tell who they were. But since we got to do some propaganda on and make them two populations, two different peoples, but they're the same people, we're just, but when he was looking directly at them, he seen a 14 verse 2. And what does that say in Jeremiah?
Look at Jeremiah 14, verse number 2 reads, Yahdai Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground.
You see that? That's all they did know. But then they knew they couldn't. See, you can't leave a people as one. And that was, it's in the records of four or five different personal writings. You can go on the internet, I heard, and you can pull it up. But we got it already in records. That all the big dignitaries knew one thing. The only way we can control these people, we gotta change their thinking. We got to tell them they slaves from Africa. And give them a religion called Christianity, Islam, and Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to do it. If you let them continue being who they are, we can't win. But as long as we can keep on dividing them for them think they Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Haitians, and go on and on and on, Dominicans, as long as you go on and on and on with these names you got, as long as we got them divided with that, we got a chance. But if they ever find out that they are from kings, yeah, I said king, WCC. What you mean? Okay, well, let me show you. They're from kings. 35. Let's go to Genesis 35. Yeah, they are from kings. They've been told in a manuscript that they are from kings. Let's go. Let's get Abraham on table first. Abraham talked about it. They're from kings, see, right? See, if the school system would let the 609 camp take over all that school system stuff, we'll straighten them up. Because we'll show them that they are from kings. In the 17th chapter, Brother Yahdai Israel, of Genesis, See, our problem is we just think we're supposed to follow behind everybody. But we'll never read what it says in 17 verse 6. What it says in 17 verse 6 of Genesis.
The book of Genesis 17, verse number 6 reads. Book of Genesis 17, verse number 6. And I will make thee exceed and fruitful. I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of you.
Okay, and who else in verse 7?
Verse number 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a Yahweh to you, and to your seed after you.
Okay, and what would God do in verse 9?
Verse number 9, and Yahweh said unto Abraham, I shall keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations.
So all we got to do is keep the covenant, see, right? See, and 35 of the same book, yeah, Brother Yahweh Israel, 35, figure around about verse 9 and 10. And they heard that right to that, 35, 9, and 10 of Genesis.
Book of Genesis chapter 35, verse 9, verse number 10 reads. Genesis 35, verse 9. And Yahweh appeared unto Jacob again. He came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. Verse 10. And Yahweh said unto him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called his name Israel.
You see? So we can help, but you got to understand something, that the name that we're so proud of, we're getting to have all these, just got a last month, you doing all this right here, you know, and you call yourself by the name the other folks give you, but he got it written in Numbers, hear me out, Brother Yahdai, you got it written in Numbers. You can't be like them. You can't do it. See, you can't do it. We can help you, but you got to understand one thing. You got to trace whoever you say you are back to one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then you understand, then we'll tell you about how you got to walk of being a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. Number 15, 15, and 16 says what?
Okay, Numbers 15. Verse 15 and 16 reads. Okay, Numbers 15. Verse number 15, when the ordinance shall be both for you as a congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, and the ordinance forever in your generation, as you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Verse 16, one Torah instruction and one manner shall be for you, for the stranger that sojourney with you.
Mm-hmm. So, what we gotta do? I hear what you're saying, WCC. I hear what you're saying. But I'm still asking what we gotta do. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. 1 down to verse 4 and 23. What we gotta do? What we gotta do that we can read? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. 1 through 4 and 23. Let's see what can we read that we gotta do?
The book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1 through 4, verse 23 reads. Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And therefore the prisoner of Yahweh beseech you that you are worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, daring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Mm-hmm. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And do what? In 1 Chronicles 12:17. And do what? And do what? In 12:17.
Book of 1 Chronicles 12. Verse number 17 reads, Book of 1 Chronicles 12, verse number 17. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you become peaceable unto me to help me, my mind shall be knit unto you. But if you become to betray me to my enemies, then there is no wrong in my hand. Now call of our fathers, look thereon. And rebuke you.
So you see, so now you see the man saying, he said, look here, you come, look, listen, we know what we know. And we know the floodgates, but look, how you gonna come? You gonna come peacefully? And we can work with you. But we got to let the Bible be the center of attraction. First of all, we got to find our biblical name. And now your biblical name is not G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. Your biblical name is from the tribe of Ashanti. Out of that tribe comes a song called Akins. I find his name later on. But out of them songs come Akins. Now, that's who you are, but that is a tribe of Yahdah Judah. But you got off into Christianity, you got off into Islam, and you got to put all that down. And you got to come back to your biblical name. Then we let the Bible take care of business. They brag about Musa. Yeah, he was a great man, but he still was a great man of the world. He was a great man of the world, but he done all that, greatest, richest man in the world, but he was up on a, he directed people to be up on an Islamic. And that is the wrong way to do it. You can't do that. You can't serve two masters. M-A-N-U-A-M-U-S-E. That's his name. And he had one that, the seed after him was called M-A-N-S-A and Bakari, A-B-Y-B-A-K-A-K. He's the one that they can tell you about what they did in the 1300s to the 1400s. They always have sent ships. A lot of ships got over this way from Mali, west coast of the land of Ham called Africa, and they didn't come back. We know where they was at. They was right over there. They was right there around the place that now called St. Vincent, all them areas over there in the Caribbean. We know who you are. But one thing we try to tell you got to put down Christianity. and you got to put down Islamic. You got to call on the one name for salvation, the four letters YHWH. Then we can help. That's the only thing we can agree on, but and you got to come peacefully. You got to come peacefully. Let me read that verse again now, because they got two sides that peacefully. Read that again, brother. I like that, brother Yahdai Israel. Now, David asked a question now. He says, on y'all. What did he say in 12:17 of First Chronicles?
The book of First Chronicles 12, verse 17 reads, David went out to meet them and after them said unto them, if you become peacefully unto me to help me, my mind shall be knit unto you. If you become to betray me to my enemy, then there is no wrong in my hand. That while our fathers looked thereon and rebuked
them. That's it. So now it's all about, see, first of all, we got to come together and agree on the Bible. If the Bible is our sources, we got to agree on the Bible. And then another thing, I spoke about it a little while ago, about a week ago, that we got it wrong that we think that the peoples of Japan, it said it's strange that we see they look at a black person real strange over in Japan. See, that's propaganda theory. See, first of all, the peoples over there in Japan, the people that's over there in China, that's wrong on what you have. Yahweh got something written about you, too. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 25. See, we got so many fires to put out. We just got these new memos coming in and people's proud of being somewhere else and being themselves. And that's why they always alter themselves to look like somebody else. But do you know what's written over here in Ezekiel 25, 1 through 11, pertaining to what we do know? Because we're going to bring the brother up. We brought him out last week. We'll bring you out again. I mean, it's not, you've been over there now for close to 20 years. You become a great, but you forgot. But you said this radio station kind of brought back something to your attention. But it's some more things you got to recognize. That they like they ain't never seen. No, listen. No, that's not. Ezekiel 25, 1 through 11. Look what this book says here. See, this Bible has got all the answers to it. In Ezekiel 25, 1 through 11 says what?
Book of Ezekiel 25, verse 1 through 11 reads. Book of Ezekiel 25, verse 1. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, verse number 2. So the man set thy face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Verse 3. And say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, because thou sayest, aha, against my sanctuary, temple, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the family of Yahdai Judah, when they went into captivity. Verse number 4. Behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession. They shall set their palaces in thee, make their dwellings in you. They shall eat thy fruit and shall drink your milk. Verse number 5.
Stop it there, Paul, for a minute. Now look what he's saying. He's telling the Chinese and the Japanese, see, Roya, I'm going to deliver you to the men of the East. you see the man saying, and the men of the East, at that time was running thing was Nebuchadnezzar supposed to go, but Lord of the five sons of Shem, they was already over there, see, Roya. So listen to me. Chinese Japanese, you in the Far East, you don't even know how you even got. You thought you just was, listen, we read now your history, how you got over there. You were taken over there. That is not even your land. And he's going to tell you about, that's why we got to bring all this stuff out. We watched the best unbump the gum, and the brother told me, Sally, I've been on it now. I'm a movie star. I'm everything. I do all the comedies, commercials, and everything. And they look at me as the famous black. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. You know, I said, listen, brother, I understand one thing. The only reason they saying that you look weird to them because their history been hid from you. Brother, you, your peoples have always have been there. See, but the school system don't teach nothing. Look, let me show you what that you have been there years ago. I mean, right out of the Bible we can read. Let's go to the book of Acts for a minute, brother. Y'all got it, man. Let me show you that you, your peoples have been in all them spots. We're going to the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 27. And this is prior to 96 AD. So what, 96 AD and that 2,000 years on went past. No, I think 2,000 years on went past. About 2,000 years on went past. Let me show you something that happened that was going on about 2,000 years ago. Verse 27.
Book of Acts 21, verse 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, Jagdad Judah, which were of Asia, committed for the land of Shem.
Judah was over there in Asia 2,000 years from the time of now. They've been always, listen, we all been, listen, when they tell you they ain't never seen nobody look like you, because the bottom line is everybody has got the propaganda going, and that's why you think you all that. Listen, Yahdah Judah has always been there. Now watch what he says over here. Give me about the seven congregation there in Revelation chapter 2 or 1. Which one is it? They talk about the seven congregation that John is going over to. Seven established communities, temples, was way over there in 96 AD, and it ain't slavery. Look what it says over here in Revelation End Time Prophecy, or in the first chapter or the second chapter. Look what it says about the seven congregation of the children of Israel. What is it?
The book of Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. And to the minister spirit of the congregation of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
I need some more. I need about the seven and where they located at. I need to know about the seven by name and where they located at. How about that, Brother Yahdah Israel? Help those see out a little bit there, Brother Yahdah Israel. I need to read about the seven and where they located at. Come on.
Verse number 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest and to our children, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the death of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of other burdens.
Mm-hmm. But I need to read about to the seven. I got to find me a book or something there, Brother Yahdah Israel. I need to read some about the seven. He was addressing the seven, somebody, and they were someplace. I need to read that, Brother Yahdah Israel, to get me a little shot in on something that John was sent by the mental spirit to the seventh somebody that we can read. You want to take another shot at it, Brother Yahdah Israel? trying to find me a little piece of Bible myself. You want to take a shot at it? I need to take a shot at it. It's everything is about location, right? Now, can you help me out about some location there, Bo Yagdai Israel? Let me see if I can find something. Unless you guys are already. Take a look at 1 verse 11 now, Brother Yagdai. He's a real cat. 1 verse 11. Here we get a point.
Revelation 1 verse 11.
Yes, sir.
Then I am the first and the last. But thou seest right in the book and send it to the seven congregations. Which are in Asia.
Which are well? Where?
Which are in Asia.
Ain't that something? You see, so it was already, you've been, it ain't no place that you wasn't at, not on the desk, you was running it. And that's when we're going to bring out what the plantation owner said in the parliament. Agreement in 1773, 4 months debating about yea, we have to destroy or kill them. What to do with the G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A? Because long as they in order, we got to destroy them. So they have a treaty in 1773. They was me for 4 months to figure out what to do with you. They said, ain't no peace until we get them divided. And so when they signed the treaty, see, right here, they, one side of the island was free and one side what? Because one side was ran by Great Britain. How are you going to defeat the French got with you? Because they was mad because British had taken them and you jumped Spain. So y'all been fighting back and forth. So the French got with you, gave you all type of weapons and everything else to help fight, and they helped the French. So they got a stain in their armor, too. They helped you defeat Britain, and it was a treaty signed in 1773. A treaty was signed. This side will be free, and that side won't. But then as the slaves start watching the war that was over there in captivity, they came on the side, whole lot of stuff, and they broke their treaty. Then they also, in 1795, on record, they killed your leader. Sure they did. They know if they kill your leader, you're going to, and you ain't never had a leader since then. They killed your leader, and his name is called Joseph. C-H-A-T-O-Y-E-R. They killed your leader. Great Britain in 1795 ambushed and killed the G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A leader. The parliament gave the order because the plantation owner said one thing. You got to remove their leader. And you ain't had a leader since 1795. See that? And what was the leader name? J-O-S-E-P-H ambushed him and killed him in 1795. Then once you killed the leader, you sent out a massive attack on the slave that you had over there, and you taking him to every spot that you had. Before the name was called Honduran, all the names over there right now, it wasn't a name there because you had all them things down pat. And then you take them from there, you take them back to Britain for 2 months. Then you ship them to England. And then from England, you ship them to another part of the Caribbean, then you shipping to America. Listen, that is your history, Steve. Right? And guess what? It's in the British archives, and it's in the French archives. And that's why French made up, they joined in with you. But they ain't supposed to, but they joined in with you to get this treaty signed for you. They gave you weapons. See, we know your history. We know everybody's history. You know, what I mean about it? Bullshit truth is like, we know you, all you gotta do here, you run your mouth. We know if you was, we know in 1773, everybody, the plantation owners told you about a lot. We gotta get rid of these elite tribes. We got to do something with them. So that's how you end up in other parts of the island. Then you came back to Britain. You went to England. Then you went to America. You went everywhere. Now, but see, you look like the rest of them. So when you say you was a G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A, and then no brother looked at you face to face, see, I believe you, bro, but you in the same old boat, beast. That's what they say. You rocking in the same old boat with me, man. Ain't no difference between you and the one that's over here now. That's why you go on your computer and pull up these people now and look and turn the volume down and look at them and say, you look just like me. That's right, see, right? Because this is another branch of the tribe of Judah. Do you know that the Judah is supposed to be in every nation for the sun, but every war you won, you got Judah over there and he came and led the way. In every battle, even the independence of Honduran, you tell the story about who led the battle was the African slave, that was Judah again. See, that's a smoking gun, see, right? And that's why they're trying to keep Judah from knowing himself. Because Judah going to activate the other level, but Judah going to tell you how to get with the man to intervene. You got to do some things that the Bible saying you got to do. In the 49th chapter, verse, it's some things you got to do. See, it's some things you got to do that we can read. All you tribes, it's some things you got to do that we can read for us to help. What it says in the 49th chapter 8 through 10 of Genesis. Brother Yahshua Israel. What it says in the 49th chapter 8 through 10. How can we help them, Brother Yahshua? How can we help them, Brother Yahshua Israel? What do they got to do when we show up that we can read? Genesis 49, 8 through 10.
Look at Genesis 49, verse 8 through 10 reads. Genesis 49, verse 8. Yahweh Judah, they whom your brothers shall praise, your hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Your father's family shall bow down before you. Verse number 9. Yahweh Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. You are gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, we shall rouse him up. Verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Yahweh Judah, nor a Torah instruction giver from between his feet. To Shiloh come, not to him shall the gathering of the people be.
So Yahweh Judah is supposed to hold on to Yahweh the Son come. So this is the agreement we got to first get to be understood. You got to look, you got to take the plucked up spirits down, and you got to address the six anointed camps with the pride of understanding, because we all Yahweh Judah. Listen, we can get you there, but you got to get the pride down and all these names you're calling yourself and all these riches you got. We got to show you the Bible don't support you. And see, nothing you're doing out there that you all talked about, I talked to you. Y'all worship the dead. You can't worship the dead. No, you can't worship the dead, see, right? You can't worship the dead. See, I mean, We got a lot of work to do, but I'll tell you one thing. If as long as you keep saying, well, we believe the Bible, okay, good. That means we can keep showing what the Bible's saying. But Judah got to leave, and Judah got to understand Judah is a big group. He got to be in every nation upon the sun, but he did. But then he got to do, he got to do the 13th chapter, verse 11 through 14 of Romans. Then he got to do something. What did he got to do that we can read? This is what Judah got to do. It starts with Judah, the one you call the Negroes. You know what they look like, right? The woolly hair. How they look like? The woolly hair Negroes. The one they call the Negro, but they y'all got you. This will got to happen that we can read in 13 chapters 11 to 14 of the book called Romans. What got to happen first, that brother Yahdai Israel? Romans chapter 13, verse 11, 9, and verse 14. What got to happen, brother Yahdai Israel, that we can read? Romans chapter 11, 13, verse 11 through 14. Hold on there, brother Yahdai Israel. We'll after you knock this out, we'll let you read back and read back. Let's get this out the way, and we'll get a closing statement behind us right here. What did it say there, brother Yahdai Israel? And look what WCC said. See, you know we're going to have to mute somebody. So I'll tell you what we do. We are mute Mr. Tears. Oh, yeah? Well, what can I say? What you reading that, brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Romans 13.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11 to 14 reads. Romans 13, verse 11. That no other time, tonight is our time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riot and drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14. We put you on Yahweh and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need one name. WCC, remind me what you said something about our guest that we got on the network this morning to broadcast. Let's put up his resume there, brother Yahdai. Let's put up this resume. His name is Barrett. Ehrmann. Now let's read about this big dignitary for a minute, and then we'll go get the mothers, cause the elder is mute for to come back. Who is this big dignitary that's monitoring the broadcast tonight? Barrett Ehrmann. Let's talk about him, brother Yahdai Israel, for a minute. Are you with me, brother Yahdai Israel?
I'm here.
All right. Give me this big dignitary right here. Barrett Ehrmann. Who is this guy? Who is this champion? Let's find out this champion right here.
I'm looking at Bart, B-A-R-T, Benton, Erkman, E-H-R-A-M-A-N, born October the 5th, 1955, is an American New Testament scholar focusing on textual criticism of the New Testament, the historical Jesus, and the origin and development of early Christianity. He has written it and edited 30 books, including 3 collegiate textbooks, He is also author of 6 New York Times bestsellers. He's currently the James A. Gray Distinguished Professor of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
He's a what?
An American New Testament scholar.
A New Testament scholar. Well, okay, good. That's all he wants. So we got you, and we got you in your room, 24 books or 30 books. You are New Testament scholar. Good. All right, brother, young guy Israel, we leave that in here. We'll talk about the big dignitary, and welcome on, big dignitary. Certain things you just might catch from the Six Anointed Camp of Voices of the Jewish Life. Brother, young guy Israel, what you close the thing behind that? Come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Another way is rolling out, see Israel, see right. Great work, team. To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah.
Well,
excellent. Now, so what I'm going to do is go grab the mothers, because Mr. Tibbs is mute for his comeback. And understand one thing. We know one thing, and that's what David said, do you come peacefully? So big dignitary. Are you coming peacefully, or are you coming to try to, we'll talk about it in a minute. Are you coming on the network peacefully? Because if you're coming peacefully, we can help you. But if you come to, we're going to read that a little bit later. To catch those saying something, often imitated but never duplicated. All things said are going to give you what does say is Yahweh. That's it. So, welcome, big dignitary. We're going to find the mothers and see what they got to say. And maybe we might get a couple of verses in tonight. I don't know. Got a lot of time on. Let's see if we can go find the mothers and bring the mothers in and see what they want to tell the national audience about our take number 38. So, when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say, Mother Z, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh bless you, see right.
Yahweh bless and keep you, see Israel, all right, you see. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. We got a packed audience. And, you know, we know that you have something to tell the packed audience. So now, grab the microphone and take your time and tell them what the Almighty put on you to tell them. You have the clock. Come on.
I would just like to read for the national audience about his chosen ones. I'm going to start reading in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. And then I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 and 8. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and righteous nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And I'm going to do verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and let before thou face all these words which the Yahweh had commanded. And I'm going to go read in Exodus chapter 7, verse 19, Exodus chapter 7, verse 6, thus are and righteous people unto the Yahweh, their Yahweh, have chosen you to be a special, peculiar people unto themselves. That word special, for peculiar people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Yahweh did not set his love upon you, neither choose you, because ye are more in numbers than any. Ye were the few of all the people. Verse 8. But because the Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep his oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, have the Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, hands of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, polluted from Israel. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Yahweh, their Yahweh, he is Yahweh, the faithful Yahweh, which keep covenants and mercy with them that love him and keep his Torah instruction to a thousand generations. And I'm going to go, and for the last part of it, I'm going to read Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let me get that. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and righteous nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Verse 10, which in time past was not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you I'm going to stop at verse 10. And that is about a chosen people that is talking about Israel, a peculiar people, chosen. And I'm going to say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's children of Israel. They are the special people. Peculiar means
right.
Special. So that's the bottom line. But all the other names that we call, that knocks us right out the box. When we use any name that the world put on us, we holding back the blessing. And that's the reason why we have to get in order, because we're holding back the blessing. And he's not going to bless you as long as you don't understand who you are and what I gave you for the blessing, the name. his name and gave you a name. But we're not using it. We're going to find out Mother Eve. Probably she's feeling real good. She can get in the microphone and talk a little bit. And tell the Master Lord is what the Almighty have put on her to say. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother Eve, tribe of Yahweh Judah, Yahweh bid you see right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, to see right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Like I said, again, all we need is keep that green food in us. And that green food and a little step on that stepper would be all right. Keep that green food in us. No things I see right all around the whole country. Listen, the Bible tells you to eat green food. As long as you eat that good green food and keep a lot of corn in your system, you'll be all right. And keep Yahweh ahead of you, you'll be all good. All that experiment eating, all that other stuff, all them Moabs, Ammon, and all that stuff eating, put that down and just eat green food, a lot of corn, and watch the dipping in your immune system. Now, Mother Eve, get in the microphone and tell the national order what the Almighty put on you to say at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. What I'm gonna read of Psalms 97, and it says, "The Yahweh reigns; let the earth rejoice; let the multitude of Israel be glad thereof." Verse 2: "Cloud and darkness are round about him; righteous and judgment are the inhabitants of his throne." Verse 3, "A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemy round about." Verse 4, "His lightning enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Yahweh, at the presence of the Yahweh of the whole earth. The heaven declared his righteousness, and the people see his greatness. Confounded be all they that serve grave images, that boasted themselves of idol worship. Him all ye false Yahweh." Verse 8, "Zion heard and was glad, and daughters of Yahweh Judah rejoiced because of their judgment of Yahweh. For thy Yahweh are high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all false Yahweh. Yea, the love," verse 10, "yea, that love the Yahweh hate evil. He preserved the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hands of the wicked." Verse 11, "Light is sown in the righteous, gladness for the upper righteous in mind." Verse 12, "Rejoice in the Yahweh, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his righteousness. I would say this is telling us that Yahweh is righteous, and he's not a false Yahweh. He is a true Yahweh, and he accomplished you, he is a light to Israel, and Israel to believe in Yahweh because he is our keeper and not worship the false Yahweh, serving him, not doing, keeping the commandments and serving false Yahweh and serving all of that Yahweh don't want us serving false Yahweh. We have only one Yahweh, and that's the true Yahweh that we should serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And like you're saying that, Mother, we just got to get in order. We got to find out, like, West Africa, South Africa, Manahan, all the ones around the Caribbean. We got to understand something. You just have to find out, it says you're the one that believe the Bible. We got to find out what the Bible's saying. Because remember, we've been trained to not like ourselves, that we are slaves. But no, we kings. We kings. And we got to get in order for Yahweh to intervene. Once we can teach our little ones that we kings, and Yahweh got an order about what to do, he will intervene. But we got to first take our time and just show you what the order of things is. And understand one thing. If we get in order, according to the Bible, Yahweh will intervene. As long as we keep on being fucked up and got the mouth going and all going to go by our feelings, Yahweh just going to watch you until he destroys you. All right, that mother. So we'll probably get a couple verses in through a minute. You can find what Mother D up Israel. She always got something that's her mother. Let's try for Yah God Judah. You know she got something to say. She'll get in that microphone and talk about something. Because one thing about it, Steve Roy, we here to help you. But the only way we can help you, we got to direct you to the Bible. We got to say, okay, what do the Bible say on that? Okay, and let's do that. And you got to recognize that the children of the book, the lead tribe, is a brown complexion with woolly hair. That is the people of the lead tribe. They brown complexion and they have woolly hair. That is the way it is. The one that pulls the lead is way back, according to the book, brown complexion with woolly hair. Ain't nobody with no straight hair gonna lead nobody nowhere. You got to be in line with the brown complexion people that got pure wool hair automatically. Only they ain't got no wool hair, they put that stuff in their hair. But when that stuff way out, it'll be woolly hair. That's it. Brown skin, woolly hair. That's the leaders of the Bible today. When you meet the Moses out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say, Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yah God Judah. Yahweh be there, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, if we teach our babies the truth, that the brown skin with the woolly hair is the one that Yahweh is going to deal with. You don't have to mess up a lot of that stuff they're doing out in the street. If you just can teach your babies, your grandbabies, that the brown-skinned, woolly-haired people is the one that Yahweh is going to deal with first in the tribe of Judah. The world be on its way in the right way. But Mother D of Israel, well, you got to put on this national order, take your time, Mister. The clock is yours and the floor is yours. Come on.
Well, see, what I have to bring to the national audience is somewhat about some of our own people are wicked. And about we have to depend on Yahweh for everything. And he done brought forth the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah, and gave us a seal. And I want to start off in Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through, I think there's 15. I'm going to start with this. Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faith word, the covenant, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceiver, special day of the circumcision. Verse 11, whose mouth must be stopped, who convert whole families, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Verse 12, one of themselves, even a teacher of their own state, the Cretan, are always liars, evil boasters, slow bellies. Verse 13, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, may be sound in the covenant. 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. 15, until pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Okay, and yeah, conscience is defiled. They profess that they know Yahweh, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobated. Verses, I want to read Romans 13, verses 1 to, I think 5, I'm not sure. But anyway, here I go. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of Yahweh. The power that be ordained of Yahweh. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resists the power resisteth the ordinance of Yahweh, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praises of the same. Verse 4, for he is the minister of Yahweh to you for good. You do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of Yahweh, and reverence and execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So I think I'm going to stop right there. So Yahweh is the one that gives us the power, give the seer power to bring forth his word. He is the one that set us up, according to Genesis 49, verses 8. And I thank Yahweh for the understanding of his word. So there's many deceivers that's out in the world, and they have nothing to do with Yahweh's word. They fight against it. So you have to pray and ask for the spirit of discernment to know who is who, even though we all may be Israel, but there are some evil Israel. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's right. You got some, and how you can tell you got evil Israel by the tone of their conversation. They always speak like chewing nails. Everything come out their mouth is nothing positive. It's always something about where they're going to put their foot at on you. I'm going to put my foot on you where it don't shine no more. That's all they're mouth on. How you be a Yahweh man and woman with that kind of, all if the only thing come out your mouth is where I'm going to put my foot at? Well, let me get back on this big dignitary. So we found that the big dignitary is in the room. But we asked earlier, just a big dignitary, that you come peacefully. Are you here to, let's see, Mother, I want to find out one thing, Mother. We got a big dignitary in the room now. He from the North Carolina chapel, and he only wrote 24 books, but we want to know one thing. Let's turn and look at Matthew 22, verse 14. We want to know about this 22:14. Let's read a little bit. Let's get a couple of verses out of that. We'll read to get our point. Matthew 22. Hey, Mother, you think around by verse 14. Let's find out something.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few chose. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Verse 16. And
wait a minute,
they sent
out. Wait, hold on a minute. That's the next word will be the Herodian. You mean that if people will come and try to entangle you in your talk? Yeah. They only come monitor the room just to entangle you in your talk. They go out the way and say, well, we're going to catch you in something. See, we're going to catch you in something. So you mean it's written that they will come into this room just to entangle the old seer in his talk. The sixth anointed account. Now go ahead. Verse 15.
Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Verse 16. And they sent out unto him their followers.
The Herodians, the big dignitaries. They sent out the big dignitaries, like the professor scholar in the room today from the chapel, and big dignitary. He said he's the champion of the New Testament. And he's supposed to catch the seer in something tonight. So let's see what he said behind that. Keep going.
Saying, Master, we know that I are truth and teach the way of Yahweh in truth. Neither hearest thou for any man, for thou art garden, not the person or man. Verse 17, tell us, therefore, what thing thou is. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Verse 18, but Yahweh perceived their wickedness and said, why tempted me, you hypocrite?
Good. Right there. That's good. So Yahweh, he can know when you're about this book or you trying to chop those sins up. He said you're nothing but a hypocrite. You try to look for some kind of reason to, we're gonna catch you in something tonight. We got the big dignitary in the room, and he gonna catch you in something tonight. Listen, all we gonna read you out of the Bible. We gonna tell you where we going, where we been. We gonna read you some dust says Yahweh, Moji of Israel. What do it say in Mark chapter 3 and pick around by verse 6? Moji of Israel. What it says in Mark chapter 3, pick around 6. Let's read a little bit. Let's get a second witness on that. So we got to watch the ones that all they come in the room for is just to always want to catch somebody. So, mm-hmm. And all things you can do is a big metaphor of just says Yahweh. Mark. Chapter 3, verse 6. Mark, D of Israel, what does it say?
Mark, chapter 3, verse 6. And it reads, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the
Herodians
against him, mm-hmm. how they might destroy him.
You see that? So we clear that we got a big job ahead of us. But one thing about it, we're going to get the job done, but we're going to follow the rules and regulations of the Bible. We know your record is always to try to stop just like you did over there when you made a treaty. Then you take the same brother, you think you got a treaty, and you come back and you kill it. We understand what you're working with. We recognize your spirit. Read a little bit more.
Verse 7. But Yahweh the Son withdrew himself with his followers to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. And
you got to know when to withdraw yourself. See, you got to know how to back away. You got to recognize some things. Hey, Mother E. Let's get a case in point. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 10. So you got to know how to withdraw yourself. Now I'm going to show you how you know when it's time for you to withdraw yourself. Titus 3, verse 10. Listen good. Titus 3, verse 10. Let me show you by watching the Bible how you know it's time to withdraw yourself. Titus 3, verse 10.
Okay. Look at Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 10, read. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. A man that is in heart attack. Chapter 3.
A man or woman that's a heretic. That means they always got something negative to say. Always trying to call a backbiting, murmur, complainer. They always got to say, so if a man or woman is a heretic, it always got some negative thing. Go ahead and read.
After the first and second emanation, reject.
He said, after you've told them once, after you've told them twice, he said, just reject them. That's what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Once you done told them, look, you're out of order. You know that's not the order. You done told them once, you done told them twice. Reject them. That's all you got to do. Just walk your follow the Bible. Now read that again. After a heretic, man or woman, I mean, they always got something negative to say. Let's see what the Bible tells you supposed to do. Read it again.
A man or woman that is a heretic.
A heretic. That means always contrary, always want to keep something going on, always about themselves. They don't like this. They don't like this. Always got a murmur backbiting approach. What do you say you do in that case that we can read?
Okay, I'm going to read again. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. A man or woman that is a heretic after the first and second emanation, reject.
You see what they do? Reject it. That means let them just talk to themselves. After you told them you told them that you got to keep the order of the Bible. And they ain't going to do it. They still going to run their fat mouth. You say, what you do for them, according to the Bible, reject it. Why you say that, Moses G. of Israel? Let's go to Sirach 30, verse 21 through 25. Let's see why he say that. Why he tell you reject it? Let's go to Sirach 30, verse 21 to 25. Why do he tell you, if you see that whoever you communicating with, all they want to do is argue? Let's see what Yahweh says about that in the 30th chapter, verse 21 to 25 of Sirach. What does he say?
Sirach chapter 30, verse 21 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Give not over your mind to heaviness, and afflict not yourself in things in thine own counsel. 22. The gladness of the mind is the life of man or woman, and the joyfulness of a man or woman prolongs their days. 23. Love thine own soul and comfort your mind. Remove sorrow far from you, for sorrow has killed many, and there is no profit therein. 24. Envy and wrath shorten life, and carefulness bringeth age before the time. 25. A cheerful and good mind will have a care of its meat and diet.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 24 again. Take your time on that verse 24 and bring it out a little bit better. Verse 24.
Envy and wrath shorten the life.
And wrath. Hold on, let me get in that. If you got to be with somebody, and all they got on them is envy, wrath, they always got nothing to say positive. Don't you know what that's doing for you if you stay in that environment and do what again?
Shorten the life.
And you look like you are 100, and you look like you might be 109 years old, and you might be 50. That's what it do for you. Because if you got to be with somebody and they never bring nothing to the table but backbiting, murmuring, complaining, and they want to put their foot where the sun don't shine in you, what happened in verse 24 again?
Envy and wrath shorten the life, and carefulness bringeth age before the time.
And you would tell them they look like somebody throwing age on them. They always frown up, and they got like age is just throwing on top of them. Mother, let's get a closer statement there, Mother E. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. And we'll pick it up at 7 down to verse 12 and a closing statement. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 and 12, and Mother E have me 11th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 3, waiting on. Let's see what it says there, Mother. Malachi, chapter 3. Pick it up at verse number 7 to 12. Come on. Make it all Malachi 3 verse 8. 3:8. Malachi 3:8 and take it on down to verse 12. The closing statement.
Okay. Book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 to 12. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Will a man rob Yahuwah? Yet you have robbed me. What you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offering. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And through me now, herewith, said the Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field.
Said good. The That's good. Now give me a closing statement. So you're telling you one thing. You know, the one do all the complaining is the one that don't even pay their tithes, free will offering donation. They got their mouth going, don't keep no Sabbath day. Don't keep no feast day. Don't pay no tithe, free will offering, or donation. But they mouth is all over the place. Close the table, Mother. You come on.
Okay. Let me get back to that. Okay. What is it? Oh, I'll read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh.